From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. Today, I'm going to play music that has been completely off my radar. On All Songs Considered, we receive a few hundred CDs each week. All the CDs get put into big plastic mailbox crates. And during the week, our producer Robin Hilton, our intern Lars Gottridge, and I go through the bins and listen to bits of everything. The interesting CDs get put in another bin, which I take home over the weekend to select songs for our next show. And why am I telling you this? Well, it has everything to do with today's show. Since Lars, our summer intern, has been with us, I began finding tiny yellow post-it notes stuck to the CDs he'd listened to. They say stuff like Japanese post-rock group. The first couple of tracks actually say something, have heartbreaking movements, etc. Another would say third album and the third label for the band that came out of At the Drive-In. And then it would say parentheses, other being the wanky Mars Volta. Sparta's punk is too smart for the Warped Tour attendees and too slick for the purists. And that note went on for another three sentences, and I think it was all on one-inch post-it note. I thought to myself, not only does our young intern know something, he knows a lot, and he knows a world of music and some subcultures that I've just completely missed. So I asked Lars Gottridge to put together some favorites and turn me, and hopefully you, onto some music that we might otherwise miss. Well, welcome, Lars. Did you come armed with any post-it notes today?
I came armed with some notes, yeah.
Okay. Well, we can talk a bit about how you came to the music you've come to and so forth, but why don't you pick me just something right off the bat that you just absolutely heard for the first time, fell in love with?
This band, Comets on Fire, and this is their fourth full-length, the second for Sub Pop Records. They're known for their MC5, Freak Out, Blue Cheer, just mess of wall and noise.
And MC5 are a Detroit band that sort of were seminal in the late 1960s and stuff, sort of known for jamming a lot and causing crazy things to happen. And Blue Cheer, another sort of psychedelic band from the 60s. So Comets on Fire sort of feel inspired by that kind of music?
They're definitely channeling the spirit of those bands and putting it into a whole new realm for people to appreciate.
What are you going to play for us?
We're going to listen to the song called Dogwood Rust.
Okay, and it's from the Comets on Fire record called
Avatar.
When we did our Look Ahead show with Will Hermes and Tom Moon, Will Hermes had the nerve to say, my favorite record of the year isn't out yet. And because I told him, give us an idea of what are the best CDs and records that came out between the beginning of the year and when we spoke in July. And he said, well, my favorite record's the one we never heard of. And it was Comets on Fire. Where'd you first hear this band?
Two summers ago when Blue Cathedral came out, a friend of mine handed the record to me at the radio station I was volunteering at, and he said that I had to hear it.
What radio station was that?
WOG in Athens, Georgia. It's a student-run, all-volunteer station.
Uh-huh. And were you a DJ there, or
what
you were doing there?
I was a DJ, and I was the local music director for 2 years. I was in charge of anything that had to do with Athens and Atlanta music. WOG is we're big proponents of the local music scene.
Uh-huh. There, a lot of Athens bands in Atlanta, Georgia bands that you fell in love with that you never heard of before?
When I came to Athens, I basically just decided to immerse myself in the scene and immediately fell into especially the do-it-yourself punk rock crowd with little known bands like Carrie Nations and Zum Zum. But I also fell in love with the Elephant Six Collective, which is made up of like the Circulatory System and the Instruments and bands like that.
Hmm. At a radio station these days, a small radio station, are they getting CDs? Are they getting MP3s? What do you dig through at a small station to pick music?
It's a lot of the same stuff that we get here at NPR. We get at least hundreds of CDs every week. And the great thing about WOG when I worked there is that the music directors there really got into the super obscure stuff. We would go out to the little tiny labels like Time Lag, who we featured a few weeks ago with Satwa, and we try to get materials from them because we want to support the little unknown independent mm-hmm. labels and artists.
And Satwa was a musicians too, one American, one Brazilian. We featured a couple of weeks ago in All Songs Considered. It was sort of a sitar guitar duo thing that were these tapes that were lost if anyone's not heard them. And they're just fantastic. I recommend that you go back and listen to that. That's something that you, Lars, turned me on to, and I'm absolutely grateful for. As a 12-string guitar player, it was kind of fun to hear that stuff. Pick me out something else.
Up next, play something a little bit more accessible and upbeat. Play something from Herbert. Herbert is an electronic musician from Great Britain, and he's definitely known more for his concepts than his music, which is unfortunate because he's a very capable and outstanding songwriter. He's been known to sample food and body parts.
Sample food in a way that we normally wouldn't sample food.
Yeah, and you know, some of them are very strange and very experimental, and I even can't listen to some of those older albums. But in this new one, which is called Scale, he set out to create the most accessible electronic pop album he could with a lot of disco and house tracks that are equally as inspired by John Cage, but not as much as on previous albums.
So it holds together fairly well?
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to it. What's the song?
We're going to listen to Something Isn't Right.
I don't buy the thing you said. You hit the nail and not the head. Try to chain me to the floor. Took the handle from the door. Won't you let me in? Yeah. Start by admitting something.
On the face of this, this is a record by Herbert, is the electronic musician. The album's called Scale. On the face of it, this doesn't sound all that weird. I mean, this could have come out in 19, Maybe even 1979. It sounds like it could almost be strings, and I don't hear any weird food and body noises.
Well, it's not on this album. In the artwork and the liner notes for this album, it features over 600 individual instruments, and he had a full orchestra. He had a full brass band.
Wow.
He recorded drums in a hot air balloon just to see what kind of sounds he could gather from it.
When you were at the radio station, I'm just curious about these little notes that you've been leaving me. And when you were at the radio station, did you do this back there? Because what's really amazing about what you're doing is that their entire review is on a, they're not postage stamp, but they're not much bigger than postage stamps, handwritten reviews of records, encapsulated wonderful ideas. Did you ever do that back at the station you worked at?
That was the way we were introduced to review records when I joined at WOG. I remember when we first came in, they said, you can just take a sticky note or whatever and just write what you like about it, write what it sounds like, and write what's good and not good about it. I was also an English major, and so sometimes, I had to write research papers, and it's kind of like writing an abstract. You have this 20-page paper, but you have to sum it up in 50 words.
Uh-huh.
And it was the same concept, and lots of people just took to it, and they liked it as a challenge.
Well, you rise to the occasion. I've never seen anything quite like it. I want to try to save a whole bunch of them. I think it'll make a great wall hanging at some point. What else did you bring to the table here?
Up next is a group from Long Beach, California called Create. They're a free jazz collective that's been around since 1999. In their earlier records, they were kind of poking fun at the idea of free improvisation, the idea of a lot of people seem to think that free improvisation has a lot to do with just making up as you go along, but a lot of it also has to do with how you interact with your fellow musicians. On this particular album, it's very patient and studied. It's not like the free jazz freakouts of the saxophone players from the 60s, Albert Eiler and Ornette Coleman. This particular track is Six Dreams Divided by Create.
Great. Roughly how long is the track?
I think it's about 5 minutes.
Uh-huh. I love the guitar. That's my favorite part in there.
It's not really something you hear that much in free improvisation or free jazz. It's almost Western desert soundtrack kind of stuff.
Uh-huh. It's totally the glue that's keeping me interested in what's going on here.
Well, it's the nice foundation for the whole song, because there's the constant guitar in the background, and then the second guitarist is bringing on this almost kind of a melody in a strange way.
Dare you say?
Dare I say?
I'm talking with Lars Gotrich. Lars is the intern here, the summer intern at All Songs Considered. This internship, interesting for you?
Yeah. I mean, I've always listened to a whole lot of different kinds of music. And when I was at WOG, I listened to a lot of music there as well, but I definitely had my favorites. I spent the last year studying free jazz and psychedelic rock. So to come here this summer and have to listen to everything all day for 5 days a week can get a little overbearing. So I actually had to take hour breaks out of the day just not to listen to any music.
So what are some things that you might have heard this summer that, because of the way we make you listen to everything, that you might not have fallen in love with?
There's an Australian trio that I'd always read about, but I'd just never gotten around to, called The Necks.
N-E-C-K-S?
Yes. It's a piano, upright, bass, drums trio. And they've often been lumped into the jazz category, but they kind of take on more of the ideas of the krautrock band Can or mm-hmm. Faust.
Guys, I'm going to stop you for a minute because you are how old?
I'm 23.
And it's hard to imagine, because when I was 23, thereabouts, I'll do the math, that's about right. When I was 23, I listened to Can and Magma and a lot of the German crazy space rock, odd music that was coming out of Germany. It's hard to characterize this stuff.
Yeah.
And so forth. And here's a question. I don't understand how it is with all the music that's out there, and we know how much music is out there because you get it in bundles every week, how you could possibly know about those bands and how it is you find and discover that music.
Well, I've been writing for a music magazine since I was 15 years old. And a lot of the ways that I just got into stuff is that I would borrow books from the library. And when I was at WOG, I would literally spend just hours on end digging through our vinyl collection. And the radio station actually has an incredible collection of jazz and 70s and 80s rock and roll. And so I just kind of dig into it. Oh, I've heard of that band. Oh, I've heard of that band. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of pick it out, take it back to the music office, listen to it for an hour, and then go back and get another one.
And do you think there's a chunk of a population in their 20s that would know a band like Faust or a band like Can? I mean,
my group of friends.
Okay. So the people making music here, the last band was Create, maybe the first, Comets on Fire, all seem to draw inspiration from the period, which is the late 60s and maybe middle 70s and some of these other bands. How do I put this? It's striking to me because that would be like me being inspired to go out and play music from the 1930s, you know? And I can't say that we tossed off as a generation, we tossed off all the music before us, but there was this like whole feeling that you were doing something constantly new, that musicians were really breaking complete new ground. And I'm just wondering whether there's, what part of what's happening in some of this music is rediscovery, nostalgia, or groundbreaking? Is there really groundbreaking music being made?
I mean, a lot of people say that everything that's been done has already been done. That's definitely a viable, you know.
But I don't think people thought that in 1973. I don't think that a group like Blue Cheer, that you could say that anyone sounded like Blue Cheer before Blue Cheer. And I don't think that when Can made music, that anyone could say that that this was recycled. It just wasn't true, you mm-hmm. know. It just hadn't happened.
I think a lot of it comes from, you know, we've kind of grown up with these records. My generation is the first to be really involved in the internet age. We have a lot more things at our hands.
Mm-hmm. That's really true.
when I was, 20 years old and I was sitting in my dorm room at the University of Georgia and I wanted to read about Can, all I had to do was go on the internet.
Right. And you'd probably know more about Can today than I would have been able to know back then.
I mean, definitely. But the most important thing is the want to know. I just kind of ate this stuff up, and a lot of the friends that I hung out with, we just kind of feed off each other. We'd share our record collections and be like, oh, have you heard this Albert Aller record? We pass it on, mm-hmm. and then we just keep listening to it.
And do you think out of this, all these people hearing all this music and reading and learning about all this music, something new, truly new might come of it?
I mean, there's always... people are always recontextualizing new ideas. Mm-hmm. I listened to that Comets on Fire record, and for some reason, it still sounds fresh to me, mm-hmm. even though it is taking a lot from bands like Hawkwind and MC5. It just sounds new and fresh to me, maybe because I'm younger, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not original in its spirit or its intent.
Yeah. Let's play this song by The Necks. You were talking about, they're Australian. What do you want to hear?
We're going to listen to a track called Abolera. All three tracks are 20 minutes long. So what I figure...
Very much in the Hawkwind and style.
Yeah. So what I figure is, go about 10 minutes in, and that's where it gets really good.
Okay. So let's give a listen.
The variations, they're subtle, but when you realize that they're there, they just kind of hit you between the eyes. Mm-hmm. And this is also the first time that the band has used a guitar, and I think it's added so many fascinating textures to this music.
This is a group called The Necks. This cut is 18-20 minutes long or something, right?
So yeah,
we'll put the full versions of these songs online for folks to hear. One of the threads that I hear in the music that you're picking, you're a musician, you play guitar?
Yeah.
And I'm a musician as well. I play guitar and mostly I play just odd electronics and so forth. And one of the threads I feel like I hear in the music you're playing, there are two things to music that to me are true. They might not be true to anybody else, but they're to me true. One is that there's music that is musicians' music in many ways, and then there's music for entertainment. In other words, the music is for the player to get the enjoyment, to have the discovery, to find the wonder in this thing called music, which is this language that is often made up on the spot, and it's magnificent and it's magical and all that stuff. And that's sort of this musician's music. Now, if there are people out there listening and they find magic in it, so much the better. That's wonderful. But that's not why these people are doing this music. They're doing this music because they just love, like, when they play this guitar and this woman or other guy is standing next to them, they hear something and it sparks them to play and all this sort of magic and energy and electricity happens. And that's the, as opposed to the other end of it, which is somebody plays, and everybody goes, yeah, and it makes them really happy. And so that's sort of the entertainment music. You know, the people on stage are doing something that's going to make you out there in the audience really, you know, happy and get real psyched about it, or the cliches that come up in the music. And so as a player, does that feel true to you, that the music you seem to love is more geared towards more of a musician or someone with a sense of that kind of discovery?
I think there are a lot of musicians who are trying to reconcile both of those. Mm-hmm. Like the Herbert track we played earlier. Right. He has this definite experimental side, but on the new album Scale, he wanted to create something that was accessible, something, I guess, that could entertain his audience. I think a lot of what these groups that I selected for this particular show, what they want to do is, yes, they're creating music that is very inward, definitely expressing themselves a lot more than maybe your average rock band would. But I think the thing that gets people like me interested in this kind of music is that we see, when we listen to them or if we have the chance to see them in concert, we see them really getting into what they're making and almost putting kind of like basically their whole soul into what's going on. And you kind of feed off of it.
And they're on the line, too, because they don't really, oftentimes in much of this music, they don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And they're essentially bearing their soul to the audience. Mm-hmm. And whether or not the audience likes it doesn't always matter to them. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that.
It's not a snobbery. I mean, it's just a matter of the musician up there is just hoping to find the magic that's in their instruments, at their fingertips. And if somebody out there is sparked and moved by it, that's great. But if they're not, the magic isn't going to be found by worrying about that person out there being sparked. The magic's going to be found by listening intently to all the players around you and finding something that you can add to it. And I think that's what a lot of these bands are doing.
I mean, it's interesting, you know, I listen to all these different styles of music. So my own playing kind of goes out the window every time I hear something I really like. For instance, the next cut that I want to play by Current 93, I've been finding myself playing a lot like David Tibet lately.
And David Tibet is?
David Tibet is the songwriter, the composer, the sound experimentalist, whatever you want to call it, for Current 93, which has been more or less around since the early 80s. And the first thing that you'll notice about Current 93 is David Tibet's voice. It's very theatrical, and it's always nearly spoken. And the same thing could almost be said for the music, which is it's this gothic vision of reoccurring dreams and apocryphal writings that he's kind of dug up over this past 20-some years. And finally on this album, I think he's really come through with something that's almost like a tender yet terrifying folklore. He's enlisted all these incredible musicians, as he always does, including Ben Chasney from Comets on Fire and the modern composer William Pasinski. And then he's got this whole array of guest vocalists, including like Mark Allman from Soft Cell, Anthony from Anthony the Johnstons. And he even somehow got the 60s folk revivalist Shirley Collins to come out of her hole wherever she is.
From the Albion Band, Shirley Collins is a well-known British folkie. Cool. Well, I want to hear it. Tell me the name of it.
The track we're going to hear is Sunset, The Death of Thumbelina. Great. And this is from Black Ships Ate the Sky.
Well, this is great. I look forward to hearing this. Lars Godrich, thanks so much. I hope you you loved your internship here. It's been great, absolutely great having you as an intern. And if you, too, would like to be an intern for All Songs Considered, we'll put a link up on the website, and there you can click it. We don't pay much or anything, but it sure is a treat for all that have done it and a treat for us on staff to have all the great interns from all over who know more about music than I may ever know. So thanks for this.
Thank you very much.
For almost finite, when I peeked inside, I did not see. Chalice or grail, God wasn't there in the darkness. The curtain tear. I already saw black ships ate the sky and flying moons scared children. The dusk blue breaks and the blue bottles laugh. The trees all fall and I hear collapse. But smile and nod and watch the dim sunset whilst the cocktails clash, bleak glass domes make shivers in my peacock eye. And I am all Thumbelina, I died for you all. And if I took the time to take your time and sleep this time all the way home and watch the egg timers bubble and wink, there's a face behind a gun that sleeps behind the owl. The matinee is showing in town, sunset, and we tumble into the cardboard, sunset. Dim birdsong, teethless, sunset. 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 The flowers smile.